I told a guy this week that I was going to try to call someone for him. I didn't try. I didn't try at all. In fact, I didn't write it down. And usually when I don't write something down, that's a sign that I'm going to forget about it. You should know this for the future, that if I don't write something down that you tell me, the likelihood is that I'm going to forget about it. That's what happens. So when he came up to me and he said to me, did I call? So I said, I couldn't get through. Sorry. It was just the automatic response. I couldn't get through. My wife asked me how my day was. Right? Asked me how my day was. Oh, it's not you, by the way. It was a different issue. My wife asked me how my day was, and I said, crazier than usual. It wasn't. Same. Pretty much was the same crazy. Same old crazy. No crazier than more. Someone told me, what do you mean, Rabbi? I got here 10 minutes ago. He didn't. He got there 7 minutes ago. I looked up at the clock. I saw when he walked in. It was 7 minutes. He's off by three. It was 7 minutes. A shadchan told the guy that she would get back to him about a certain shidduch. She didn't. And someone told me that the reason why this shidduch didn't work out was because of X. But that wasn't it. It was X, Y, Z, a double A, double B, a couple other reasons as well. But they told me that the reason why it didn't work out was because of X. But it's not true. It was because of X and a bunch of things he didn't mention. She didn't mention. Someone said that he would take care of a certain issue for me to, you know, make sure that it happened and to make sure that everything was going to be. He didn't. I had to get someone else to do it. It's just that. So, when someone was approached about something bad that had happened in the dorm over Shabbos, so a guy approached him and said, you know, we kind of want to talk to you about what happened over Shabbos. The guy said straight to his face, I wasn't in the yeshiva this Shabbos. He was 100% in the yeshiva. He was 100%. But he just said it out loud. I wasn't there. It came straight out of his mouth. See, in Yevamos, Samach Gimel Amud Aleph, Rav had a wife that would never listen to what her husband wanted. Everything that he would tell her to do, she would do the exact opposite. If he wanted her to make lentil soup, she would make barley soup. If he wanted her to make barley soup, she would make lentil soup. Everything would be the exact opposite. So Rav had a son named Reb Chiya. His uncle was also Reb Chiya. His Rebbe was Reb Chiya. He had a son named Chiya as well. Son named Chiya. And Reb Chiya took a message from Rav. Rav wanted lentil soup this morning. So Reb Chiya brought over to his mother and said, Rav wants barley soup. I think for him it was okay to say his father's name. That was okay. But Rav wants barley soup. So what did she make? She made lentil soup. So she brought him the lentil soup. Reb Chiya was all proud of himself, bringing it up to his father, Rav. Right? And he said to Rav, anybody know what Rav's real name was? Abba. Yeah. So either way, it would have been okay, right? So he set it over, and he brought it over to her. And when he saw the lentil soup, he said, hey, your mom's getting better. Your mom's getting better. Everything's getting better. So Reb Chiya told him, no, this is what I did. I switched it around, and I said, barley soup, in order that she gives you lentil soup. So Rav told him, don't do that. Lindu l'shonom daber shaker. You're teaching yourself to speak out lies. Even though the result of this action got me the soup that I wanted, but teach yourself not to speak out lies. Now it's interesting. I thought this from the beginning. When I learned this Gemara, I said, well, why didn't Rav do that? That's the first thing Rav should have done. Right? Say to his wife, I want barley soup. Hint, hint. And end up getting lentil soup. Oh, sorry. Like, that would be perfect. And I want lentil soup when you wanted barley soup. That would be obvious. That's the obvious thing. I don't know why anybody would want lentil soup in the first place. But if you want it, I guess that's the way to be able to do it. Right? You go ahead and get it that way. That should be obvious. But no. This pasuk is in Yirmiyahu. It's in Parakas Pasuk Gimel. And it talks about how people would speak to their friends and they would pretend that they're doing the right thing when they were really lying straight through their teeth. Right? And it's saying, Lindu L'shonam L'shon Shaker is not the way to go. That's not how we do things. We don't get involved with doing stuff like that. The Chazon Ish used to have a mincha minyan at his house at 12:30 every day. I'm not so sure the time is right, because I would assume that it was only in the winter that he had the mincha minyan at 12:30. Maybe in the summer he switched around, whatever it is. But he had a mincha minyan at his house every single day. So one time they didn't have a tenth man for the minyan until 12:45. So Shmuel Greineman went to the Chazon Ish, famous, the Talmud, the big Talmud of the Chazon Ish. He went to the Chazon Ish and he said to him, listen, I have an appointment today at 1 o'clock. If I stay for the 12:45 mincha, then I'm going to be late for my meeting. So what should I do? Should I stay for the minyan? If I leave, you don't have a minyan. You won't have a minyan. So what should I do? Is it better for me to stay for the minyan, make sure you have a minyan, and be a little bit late to my meeting? Or should I leave, right? You won't have a minyan, and in the end, I'll make my meeting on time. Now just know, as a side note, I'm not so sure too many people would ask that question. Just think about that for a second. What's the difference if you're a couple minutes late for a meeting? Right? And it's the Chazon Ish we're talking about over here. We're not talking about Stama Yid. The Chazon Ish needs a mincha minyan. And you're going to leave to go to an appointment? I wouldn't even ask. I wouldn't even think to ask. Why should I ask the question of the Chazon Ish? Why should I ask him that question when it's obvious, of course, let the Chazon Ish have his mincha minyan. But he asked. Shmuel Ganavin asked. He was a little bit more into his sense of what it meant to fulfill your word. And the Chazon Ish told him, it's better to dissolve the minyan than have you be over on one line. Now, it wasn't a bald-faced lie. We're not talking about a terrible lie. It's about a person who just, it wasn't, he wouldn't be. He said he was going to meet at 1 o'clock. He's not going to be able to be there at 1 o'clock. That's it. Think about that when there's no mincha minyan that you have to make for the Chazon Ish, and you tell somebody you're going to be there at 5 o'clock, or 6 o'clock, or 4 o'clock, or whenever it is. Think about that by any other situation. This is a famous story that I'm sure everybody's heard a version of something like this. The Chofetz Chaim, when he first came out with the Mishnah Berurahs, so the printing press that they used was Russia 100 years ago. As you can imagine, more than 100 years ago, we're not talking about high quality printing. So quite often, they would make mistakes, either in the printing, or there'd be smudges, or there'd be pages that were stuck together, or pages that were reattached to one another. There were quite often mistakes in the printing. So the Chofetz Chaim never wanted to give out a Mishnah Berurah that had a mistake in it, that had an edited something that could be taken care of. So he would proofread all the Mishnah Berurahs. What would he do? He'd go through and he'd take it page by page and just make sure that everything looked basically correct. He wouldn't read the whole thing, that would be ridiculous, right? But just look at, okay, looks good, go from one page to the other, each page looking through. So I don't know if you've seen a Mishnah Berurah set before. Mishnah Berurah is not a small set. The 6 volumes altogether, you're dealing with a huge amount of Sfarim that you would have to go through. So his family used to help him. They used to go through, his sons and daughters would sit down and they'd go through page by page, and each one would take a couple Sfarim, and they'd go through page by page to make sure that they weren't selling defective Sfarim to the people that were buying them. They wanted to make sure that everything was all there. So his daughter one time, I don't know which one this is, I remember somebody telling me there was Zach's, but I don't know if it's that daughter, but his daughter one time said, listen, Abba, I want to go play outside. I want to go play something with my friends. When I come back, I'll work on the Mishnah Berurahs. His father was not in. So we'd work on the Mishnah Berurahs first and then go play. They're playing right now. Abba, please let me go. So in the end, she said, all right, Abba, when I come back, I'll do 10 sets of Mishnah Berurahs. 10 sets of Mishnah Berurahs. She's obviously exaggerating, right? You're not going to do 10 sets of Mishnah Berurahs, right? I mean, she's going to do a bunch. She's like, I'll do 10 sets. She comes back. There are 60 Sfarim on the table. 60, 6-0. 6 volumes. 10 sets, right? Pretty sure that's 60. I'm not positive I forgot to carry the 1, but I'm pretty sure that ends up being 60, right? She looks at her. She said, Abba, what is this? Chofetz Chaim turns to her and says, you told me you would check 10 sets. These are 10 sets. You told me you were going to check 10 sets. So she did it. She did it. Over the next 17 years, she finished all of them. She was able to go through all of them. But consider that. Consider what she just did. Consider what that means. Said the Chofetz Chaim, a word is a word. A word is a word. If you say something, then you mean it. You have to mean it. You have to say it. Rav Lazer Gordon was the Roshiva of Telz years ago. He had a grandson of Elia Meir Bleich, who was very critical of secular Zionism. Like many people in Telz, many people in the world were, secular Zionism was not his favorite cup of tea. When he became Roshiva of Telz, so it was problematic, there was problems. Someone told him that if he didn't soften his tone, and soften his tone in the way he spoke about some of the people that were leading the country in Israel, if you don't do that, you're going to lose all of your funding. All the funding for the yeshiva is going to be gone. You're going to lose your major donors. Everybody's going to be gone. So the Lord said to him, my father told me I never had to become a Rosh Yeshiva, but he always told me that I had to become an Erlich HaYid. I'm not going to lie just because I'm going to lose my fund bill. Not going to lie. If I feel that they're doing something that's wrong, I'm going to say that they're doing something wrong. I'm not going to say something that's incorrect just because I'm going to lose my fund bill. I have to be an Erlich HaYid. I don't have to be a Rosh Yeshiva. I'll do something else instead. Another boy's line. Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky was once asked by a person that we know that a person really shouldn't work on Purim. But nonetheless, there are many people that have work. There's nothing you can do. You have to go to work. This year, I think more than ever, I had more people come up to me this year and ask me about Purim. Can I work? How do I go to work? What do I do? Etc. than I've ever had before. And I know it hasn't been, I don't remember how many years Purim has been on a Thursday. I think it's more been on a Sunday. But a Thursday and then a Friday right afterward where it hasn't been so easy. So it's hard, but nonetheless, what can you do? So a person once went to Yaakov Kamenetsky, and asked Yaakov Kamenetsky, can I call in sick? I'll call in and say that I'm sick, right? Maybe for the future, maybe he meant because of what he was going to be that night, right? But can I call in sick and say, I'm sick, I can't come into work today? And Rabbi Yaakov told him, no, not yet. You can't do that. It maybe through hit or mitzvah of having your breakfast, maybe something will happen. But you can't. There's no way you can call it. You're not sick. If you're not sick, you're not sick. I remember years ago when I worked just in a similar vein, but the exact opposite of my reaction, when I worked as a head counselor in a certain camp. So there was a boy who had missed 4 days of camp. Altogether, there were 8 weeks of camp, and you have to be there for every day in order to get your bonus, whatever type of a bonus that you can get. And the guy had missed 4 days for a wedding or something. I forgot what it was exactly. So he had missed 3 days. 3 days was what you were allowed to miss and still get part of your bonus. You can miss 3 days. But you were also allowed 2 sick days. You were also allowed 2 sick days. So the guy lost his bonus and came up to me and said, what can you do? So I said, well, why don't you use one of your sick days for one of those days? And that way you'll still get your bonus. And I remember they said, absolutely not. He wasn't sick on that day. He was there. I said, isn't that what everybody does? I bet everybody uses their sick days for regular days. So what are you going to do with your sick days then? You have all these sick days saved up. What are you going to do with them? He said, it's not what we do. That's not there. So I'm just saying that was the opposite, right? But nonetheless, it's a concept of what it means to say the exact truth. The JCC at least understood this concept, right? They were, no gay if it ever, but regardless. You know, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky refused to use Rav Moshe's private line. When he wanted to call once in order to ask him to wish to daven for his Rebbetzin, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky's Rebbetzin was not feeling so well. So in order to get Rav Moshe to daven for his Rebbetzin, he was calling Rav Moshe's regular line. There was a regular line in the house. That regular line was always, always busy. It was like calling Rabbi first times 100. There was never a time that you could really get through. And Rabbi Yaakov was calling and calling and calling. It was always busy, 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 busy. So somebody said to him, you have Rav Moshe's private line. You know the number. You have it right there. Why don't you just call out the private number? He said, I was only given permission to use Rav Moshe's private number for Klal Yisrael. My Rebbetzin is not Klal Yisrael. And therefore I have no permission to use the private number of Rav Moshe. I never got permission to do it. So I can't do it. I have no ability to do such a thing. A bacher once came up to Rav Chatzko Levenstein. Said to Rav Chatzko Levenstein, how can I avoid exaggerating my stories? How can I avoid all this exaggeration? So Rav Chatzko Levenstein said, I don't get it. I don't understand the question. So the boy thought that, you know, maybe a language barrier. He didn't know what he meant by exaggeration. So he said, well, exaggeration, you know, embellishment, you know, adding on details that never happened to my stories. So Rav Chatzko said, oh, you mean lying? Oh, how do you stop yourself from being a liar? Oh, well, that takes Yiras Shamayim and learning more Musar. That's what that means. Right? You don't want to be a liar, I understand. I didn't get what your question was. Amazing, right? Absolutely amazing. See, lying is a habit that never stops. It never stops. You get used to it once, and then eventually you become a cat cornered. Cornered. Saying like, whoa, what did I... No. And then it keeps going further and further. You could go up to a person, and you could say to a person, well, hey, where were you for chakras this morning? And the guy said, oh, I went to another minion. Oh, what minion did you go to? Oh, the 8 o'clock at Yeshurun. I was at the 8 o'clock at Yeshurun. I didn't see you. I was sitting in the back. The back on the left or the right? On the left. I was also in the back on the left. How did I not see you? Oh, no. I walked in a little bit late, and then I moved over to the back side on the right. Right? Really? Why'd you move? Oh, because it was a guy sitting in my normal seat. Where's your usual seat? Oh, it's the fourth seat in the second row. There was no one sitting there. There was at the time. And then I moved over to the right. Do you see what I'm saying here? I was never at Yashurun at 8 o'clock. Who would be at Yashurun at 8 o'clock? Right? That's not shy. So what was it? What happened? Because once he got caught in the lie, he had to keep going. Now, eventually, if he's smart, he'll come to the I went to the bathroom route. Once you go to the I went to the bathroom route, then you're easy. Then you're done. How long did you spend in the bathroom? You don't want to know. It's a private matter. I prefer not to go into that. That is a private matter. Then you can already get out of it. But that's what happens. You get started off with one lie. You're going to have to add on to it. You got to go to the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth. That's what ends up happening. When you're telling over a story and all of a sudden you see that people are not really paying attention anymore. It's a story about you. And, you know, it kind of doesn't end on the best note. It's just like, and that's when the car crashed into the building. A car crashed into the building? Yeah. It was crazy. And you saw this? Yeah. It was great. What kind of a car? Oh, it was like a semi-truck. It was so big. It was 500,000 feet long. See, that's what happens. See, that's a lie. That is an absolute lie. There's nothing to talk about when it comes to stuff like that. Obviously, it gets harder and harder as time goes on. There's an unbelievable story that I read years ago, and I don't remember the details. I wish I remembered where the details were, and I wish I remembered where the story was about a guy who got so used to telling lies. It was a terrible story. His son was very, very sick, and they went to a rav, him and his rebbetzin together. They went to this rav, and at the end of the day, the rav called the rebbetzin in without the husband and said, you know, your husband has got to stop what he's doing. Lying, embellishing, saying other things. It's just one of those stories where he got caught in a crazy lie at the doctor's office. The doctor was trying to help his son. It's terrible stuff. Absolute terrible stuff. This is what happens to a person when he goes around. But we do have a kasha. There's a Gemara Bava Metzia. This Gemara Bava Metzia is on, if I remember correctly, it's Pei Gimel, but it might be earlier. No, it's got to be different. It's got to be Pei Hei, around Pei Hei. Bei is Pei Vav, somewhere around there. Where we all know it's Avram and Sarah, right? Sarah Imenu said, right? How is my husband able to have a child, right? That he's so old. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu lied to Avram Avinu and was mishanet. Let's call that word. That's what the Gemara says. Was mishanet, changed what she had said in order to allow for Darchei Shalom, for there to be Shalom Bayis inside the house. That we all know. That's right there. How does that work? How does that work that a Kadosh Baruch Hu lied? Even if it's for Shalom Bayis, why is there a heter for Shalom Bayis, and where do we apply that heter? There's a Magen Gibor in Kuf Nun Vav that brings down that if the only time that you're allowed to lie is if something already happened, and that can allow for Shalom Bayis. This is what the person said. This is what the person didn't say. That you can do. But if it's in the future, then you're not allowed to lie. Now, what's an example of in the future? What does that mean in the future itself? So the Das Torah explains, if you're muchzik b'mamon, you're holding on to the money, and you know that you're 100% right, that you should be able to keep the money in a situation against you and your friend, with you and your friend. You know that if you go to court, the judges are going to judge against you and like your friend. If you give your claim and he gives his claim, he's going to win. You know that's going to happen. But you know you're right, and you're muksik for a moment as well. So what should you do? Can you lie about your claim in order to make sure that the judges will judge the case like you? Can you lie about the claim to make sure they judge the case like you? No. Why? Because they haven't judged the case yet. If you say your claim and he says his claim, you still might win. Since this is in the future, this is for a future type of issue, therefore you're not allowed to give a lie. You're not allowed to say something that might be a lie. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where he was meshanet for Darchei Shalom, was when Sarah Imenu had already said what she said, and now he was telling Avraham what she had said. That already happened. There's nothing happening in the future. But when you're going to affect something in the future, says the Das Torah, that's when a lie is not allowed to be used even for Darkei Shalom. There are other Rishonim that say that it wasn't even a lie, really. That it was a different type of thing, whatever. But that's not what we're going into right now. Nonetheless, that would be a lot of that stuff. Let's end with one story that goes into it. Someone told the Russian authorities that the Maharil Diskin, Rabbi Yeshua Leib Diskin, Rav around the turn of the century, moved to Yerushalayim after this story, after this had happened. He was the Rav of Brisk before the Brisker Rav became Rav of Brisk. Maharil Diskin was a spy. Now, he was thrown in prison, and he had to get a lawyer. So the city of Brisk hired the best lawyer they could find. The best lawyer they could find was an assimilated Jew who had married a non-Jewish lady, right? And this lawyer was going to be the person who was going to help the Maharil Diskin, and everything was going to be fine. Now, the lawyer, I don't want anyone copying the Maharil Diskin here, okay? No one here can do this. You have to be the Maharil Diskin to do this. The lawyer met the Rav in jail, and the Rav kept turning his head away. So the lawyer turned the other way, and he turned his head this way. So the lawyer said, "Why aren't you looking at me?" He said, "It's forbidden to look at the face of a Russia." That's what he told his lawyer. So the lawyer said, "You do realize that I'm the only person that's going to keep you from rotting in jail or from going to Siberia." The Maharil Diskin said, "No, you're not. You're only a pawn. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the only one that's going to keep me from rotting in jail and from going to Siberia. That's it. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to go, I'll go. You're just a pawn. You're being used for this." The Maharil Diskin then was told what to do, how he had to make a certain claim, and how to say it, and what to do in front of the authorities, and that way he would win. The Maharil Diskin said, "Absolutely, I will not say any of those things because it's not 100% true. I will say exactly what I did, and if they're going to judge me, they're going to judge me. That's fine. But I will say 100% exactly what happened, and let them do and say whatever it is." The lawyer had no idea what to do. Okay, so what did they do? They came to the court itself, and he told the judge, when he came to court, everything that had happened, from when he was hired until right now. He said, "He's going to tell you whatever he wants to tell you. I can get him to do nothing. I can get him to do absolutely nothing." So the judge heard what the Maharil Diskin had to say, and judged that he was innocent, let him go, and the very next whatever it was, soon afterward, the Maharil Diskin decided he was going to emigrate to Eretz Yisrael. He was going to make Aliyah, and that was going to be it. He no longer wanted to be there. But the Rav was left entirely off the hook, with no issues whatsoever. I'm not saying you're going to get out of the hook by just absolutely telling the truth and saying the MS all the time. Sometimes you will get in trouble for saying the truth all the time, and every time. Do I look fat in this? Is not a time when you want to get into that. That might be in the past, though. That might not be for the future, although the judgment may be in the future. But the past may be there. All it is we should be careful with our words. We should be careful with what we say. If we say we're going to do something, we should make sure it happens. If we say we're going to act in a certain way, we should make sure that happens. We should try our hardest to be able to make sure that our words and our stories and everything that happens is true. It happens in the way that we just said it was going to be. That's what we should be working on. That's something that we can help ourselves with. Let's see if we can do this. That'll be our Emes and Sheker. Have a good week, everyone.